For NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
We usually reserve our guest DJ shows for musicians, but today we're doing something a little bit different. Gael García Bernal is from Mexico, and he's known for acting in, producing, and directing projects that are deep and thoughtful, and also have stunning soundtracks.
He has starred in such critically acclaimed films as Y Tu Mama También, Amores Perros, The Motorcycle Diaries, and Sin Nombre, and produced some cult favorites like Rudy y Cursi y Voy a Explotar, just to name a few. Now, along with his longtime friend and production partner Diego Luna, Gael García Bernal is part of a vanguard of Mexican filmmakers that some say rivals Mexico's Época de Oro, or the Golden Age of Cinema, which ran from the early 1940s through the 1950s.
Gael is joining us today from his home in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and he's going to talk to us about the music of his movies. What we're listening to right here is the song Nasty Sex from the film Y Tu Mama También. It's by the band La Revolución de Emiliano Zapata.
This kind of sex is gonna let you down. Let you down.
Gael, welcome to the program. Bienvenidos.
Thank you. Thank you for those very kind words. That was a big introduction.
So the projects you've been in, as we've mentioned, they're always well known for having these amazing soundtracks. How much of a musical person are you?
I'm glad you mentioned it because we really put a lot of thought into the music, depending on what my approach is within the film. Even if I'm acting in a way, I wanna get really involved in the selection of the music, or at least, I don't know, give some advice, no? Because sometimes, you know, the music comes from the characters, as in Y Tu Mamá También, for example. That was a film that Alfonso Cuarón asked for our advice on what music to use, and I don't know, we worked as kind of actors and music supervisors at the same time.
Where does that come from, the ability to mix the film and the music? I mean, are there films that you saw either developing as an artist or as a kid that mixed music and film in a good way?
Yeah, I feel that I am a musical person because I really enjoy music. I'm a musician like everyone else is a musician, you know? I mean, everyone's got a musicality into them. I think that if the films that struck me a lot as a kid, they always have a sound transcendence as well, be it a song or some score, or sometimes just the whole, you know, sound of the film, the whole atmosphere that the film kind of brings along. And this has to do, I mean, with the basic nature of filmmaking, which is it is a sound and a visual experience. I mean, now it has become that. So therefore, it is as important what the sound that you put into it. And I can remember now soundtracks that struck me when I first heard them. For example, I mean, it could be from the Jungle Book, for example, as a kid, which definitely is a great soundtrack. I don't think they make music like that for kids anymore. It's a lot of jazz in that movie. I mean, it's really fun, really great to dance. From that to Clockwork Orange, you know, I mean, I saw it as a kid. I mean, I saw it like when I was 11 or something like that, 10. But that film, for example, has a great soundtrack as well. So, you know, spanning those extremes, I think all the films that I saw that I remember and that I liked have a particular soundtrack to them that it is quite prominent.
And it's interesting because when people think of amazing soundtracks in movies, one of the films that they think about nowadays is Amores Perros, which is, it came out in 2000, and it's really a movie that catapulted you into international fame, and it quickly became a Latin American cinema classic, and partly it's known for its amazing soundtrack. You know, it features high-profile artists like Julieta Venegas, Gustavo Santaolalla, Café Tacuba, Molotov. How important was the soundtrack to the popularity of this movie?
Yeah, well, I think every element, everything that happened around that time, around that context, helped make Amores Perros what it became. Because, I mean, the circumstances were very particular. It was a transitional period, no? It was the year 2000, and there wasn't, let's say, a visual or a cinematic geography to modern-day Latin America. And this film kind of brought it across and hit a chord, not only in Latin America, but also outside of Latin American Europe, particularly. And combined also with perhaps this act of faith or this kind of participation that everyone had in the movie, you know, meaning that they didn't do it for the money, they just did it for the fact of being part of a collective experience and an artistic experience as well. And I don't know who was that came with a great idea that let's make a sort of a parallel soundtrack for the movie that of songs that do not appear in the movie, of songs that artists got inspired by watching the movie, and they just made some songs and they put them there. So,
well, we did want to ask you about those songs.
Which song from that film do you think worked well on the screen, mixing in the images and the storyline? Which is your favorite from that film?
I think one of them is perhaps this, which is, if you would have described it before watching the movie, it would have sounded really corny. But I think when you watch the movie, it really works. It's Lucha de Gigantes. That song by Nacha Pop, a Spanish band from the 80s. I mean, that song works really well.
Lucha de Gigantes con diez. El aire en gas natural, un duelo salvaje advierte lo cerca que ando de entrar en un mundo descomunal. Siento mi fragilidad. Vaya pesadilla corriendo con una bestia detrás. Dime que es mentira todo, un sueño tonto y no más. Me da miedo la enormidad, donde nadie oye mi voz. Deja de engañar, no quieras ocultar que has pasado sin tropezar. No sé contra quién voy, pues que acaso hay alguien más aquí. Creo en los fantasmas terribles de algún extraño lugar y en mis tonterías para hacer tu risa estallar en un mundo descomunal. Siento tu fragilidad. Deja de engañar, no quieras ocultar que has pasado sin tropezar. Monstruo de papel, no sé contra quién voy, pues que acaso hay alguien más aquí.
And then the second one that I think works really well is Control Machete song Si Señor, which is a great song that I had already came out, and this the movie kind of revitalized it again, that song, and until now it reminds me of the movie very strongly.
Let's listen to Si Señor by Control Machete.
mientras mi gente espera. Espigas que voy yo sembrando para ver si germinan. Viento del norte, pensamiento y vida. A San Pedro lo traigo entre el aliento y saliva. Que suelto cada momento que siento correcto y lo hago completo y directo. Sí señor. Presente, esperando en represente. Baja por las noches, me arrulla yo inconsciente en mi vientre. Los segundos pasados, cargados, tatuados en mi espalda, empapados, aunados a espasmos de llanto y de risa. He andado sin pausa, sin prisa, así de lento el momento. Y no termina así de lento, cruzando entre las espinas.
Dime qué se siente, dime qué se siente, dime qué se siente el sudor en la frente. Dime qué se siente, dime si presientes, dime qué se siente el sudor en la frente.
Sí señor.
We have a listener question for you. Listener Emily asks, si alguna vez la música ha influenciado cómo actuaste en una escena, o siempre la música se agrega a la escena que ya está filmada. Has a song ever influenced how you act out a scene? I mean, does the director kind of approach you and share a song with you to inspire you to act out a scene, or is it always the other way around? The music is added after the scene is filmed.
Well, most of the time, directors think about what music to put into a scene. Sometimes they know for sure, sometimes they just use like some song that it serves like a guideline, or sometimes it is going to be used in the montage, but then they're going to make another song that kind of inspires the same feeling. And this process is always evolving. Sometimes it's for sure that they know which song is going to be there, and sometimes they have no idea and they're just using one. So basically the point is that nothing when you're filming is for sure, for certain, you know? But as an actor, I mean, there's sometimes what the director gives you as an inspiration helps, but a lot of the times you kind of on your own find many songs that definitely resonate with the character or help you get into something, or you know, that just combines or share the same space of what you're going through, no matter what it is. I mean, not even if the song talks about the scene that you're about to do or not. I mean, it's just that if it inspires some kind of creative bubble.
For example, is there a particular song or an artist that gets you into a mode?
I feel like I'm gonna cheat a lot when saying what it is, but you know, in Motorcycle Diaries, I listened a lot to all the cantos de protesta, you know, of the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Like Violeta Parra or...
Yeah, and the Nueva Trova Cubana, you know, from Silvio Rodriguez to, I don't know, Pablo Milanés and all of that. So it really helped to get into the part. But also I listened to everything that they were listening at the time. So a lot of mambo, for example. So Pérez Prado... Definitely, I recommend Pérez Prado. I mean, Pérez Prado and Jimi Hendrix are both hallucinogenic kind of great music to get high on.
We've actually been getting a lot of listener complaints about not playing enough Silvio Rodriguez, so I think we should play a Silvio Rodriguez song now. Do you have a favorite?
Wow, asking a favorite from Silvio is like asking a favorite from the Beatles.
I know, it's really hard.
Well... Okay, yes, there's one, Con 10 años de menos, I think it's called. It's the one that says, Si fuera 10 años más joven, qué feliz.
Si fuera 10 años más joven, qué feliz. Y qué descamisado el tono de decir. Cada palabra desatando un temporal. Y enloqueciendo la etiqueta ocasional. Los años son, pues mi mordaza o mujer, sé demasiado, me convierto en mi saber. Quisiera haberte conocido años atrás, para sacar chispas del agua que me das, para empuñar la alevosía y el candor y saber olvidar. Mejor. Esta mujer propone que salte y me estrelle. Contra un muro de piedras que alza en el cielo. Y como combustible me llena de anhelo. Besos sin promesa y sentencias sin leyes. Esta mujer propone un pacto que selle. La tierra con el viento, la luz con la sombra. Invoca los misterios del tiempo y me nombra. Esta mujer propone que salte y me estrelle.
I wanted to talk to you about your listening habits. Do you listen for things that might work in a film, either one you're working on now or in the future? And do you also listen at the same time just for enjoyment? How do you separate those two?
It is very difficult to separate work and life in this type of job because everything you do, everything you live is part of, I don't know, it helps you grow as a creative experience. It just grows. And I mean, for example, reading the newspaper every day for me is my job in a way. You know, or I see it as my job to read the newspaper, to see, to get in tune with what's happening, to go out and spend some time listening and just observing, and to be with my kids, for example. This, I see it as everything is an experience that helps me grow as an actor, yes, but as whatever way I want to creatively express that. So now, when I listen to music, when I put myself to the task of listening to music, it has to become a moment. And I'm quite promiscuous with music, I must say. I mean, I listen to almost everything, although there's one thing I sincerely hate and I cannot understand or get in tune with, which is R&B, for example. I don't. It's something that I'm completely negated to it.
Well, you're promiscuous, but you have good taste with music. I was going to say, the projects you're in really have a knack for discovering music that really deserves to be discovered. And I'm thinking, for example, of the Mexican TV romantic comedy series Soy Tu Fan, or I'm Your Fan, which you also co-produced. And really, it has a stunning soundtrack, including some of our personal favorites, Carla Morrison and Le Bucherets. And you were playing it before it was kind of an underground hit. Let's listen to Carla Morrison's Esta Soledad.
Esta soledad me está quemando las pestañas, llenándome de telarañas y me pone. Soportar, seguir sufriendo por el sueño que estoy siguiendo. Yo no sabía que era tan difícil. Me encuentro aquí caminando, gracias a Dios soportando. Claro que sí. Con lágrimas derramando, me encuentro aquí caminando, gracias a Dios soportando. Claro que sí, caminando con lágrimas derramando.
Would you say you have your ear to the ground when it comes to the Latin music scene?
Well, it helps a lot that there's a lot of people that are really in touch with what's happening. And a few examples are Camilo Lara and Lynn Feinstein. Lynn Feinstein is a music supervisor that works a lot in movies. She worked a lot in MTV as well, and she's quite, you know, in tune with what's going on in Mexico and also in other parts of the world. And the same with Camilo Lara. Camilo Lara, he's part of the Instituto Mexicano de Sonido, you know? He's in touch with a lot with what's happening, and so they kind of, sometimes we get a lot of privileges in that sense. Whenever putting a project together, well, it's interesting to listen to new stuff always, and sometimes you feel that you're getting a premiere, you know? You're like, wow, okay, listening to something that perhaps you're discovering and very few people have heard for the first time.
A lot of times watching your movies is like discovering new music. I just realized that you executive produced one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Sin Nombre. The score for the film is by Brazilian composer Marcelo Sarvos. There's a lot of other music involved, like in everyday scenes of the characters of Casper and Saida. And one of the artists I discovered through Sin Nombre is Argentine cumbia man, Dick El Demasiado. Mm-hmm. He sings the opening track of the movie Flaca de las Coloradas. Mm-hmm. And here, actually, I'd love to share this with listeners because I love it. It's a very psychedelic cumbia.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Aquí se trata una flaca de las coloradas. Esto no es un santo texto ni le cuento de la manzana. La culebra entró por la puerta, por la rota del autobús. Ni siquiera compró boleto, ni a nadie le saludó. Esta historia es de la culebra, una flaca de las coloradas. Pues aquí culebra flaca, la que come un picaflor. Pues aquí culebra colorada, la que va matando lo mejor. Y el hombre que lo manejaba, el de profesión chofer, a culebra le preguntaba si boleto traía, si boleto podía ver.
At this point, you are such a respected actor that I can only imagine that bands approach you. And I'm particularly interested in a project you have coming up called Who is Dayani Cristal, which is part documentary, part drama. And it's about this anonymous body, which is found with a tattoo that says Dayani Cristal. It's the whole voyage to discover who this body is. So you travel to Honduras, and you'd go from Honduras to Washington to get an answer. And with a film like that, just off the top of my mind, like 5 or 6 bands come to mind that would love to do a soundtrack. I mean, do bands come up to you and say, Gael, please include us in this movie, or I have a song for you?
Wow. Well, you have to give me those bands who you think might do this. To be honest, I haven't thought of the music because the parts that we've been shooting, it is a long, ongoing documentary process that we're doing with that film. So the stuff that we've shot already, it has music already in it because it spans the whole journey from Honduras to the United States and backwards, and you know, especially above the train, you know, to kill time. There's a lot of people that sing.
Yeah, that's actually something I noticed in Sin Nombre. for people who haven't seen it, please go see it. It's just one of the most amazing movies about immigration out there right now. It's this girl with her father who travels from Honduras into the U.S. And there's this one scene on the train at night in which someone is singing Tres Veces Mojado by Los Tigres del Norte.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use this word, but it would be, you know, three times a wetback because they cross three borders. I have to tell you, I watched it with a group of friends who did come into the U.S. in this way, and I asked them, I was like, is this an accurate portrayal of how you came into the U.S.? And they were like, it's pretty much amazingly accurate. I was in that town. I was on that train.
Yeah, but a good thing to point out there with this journey is that it is so... such an incredible dramatic journey due to its, let's say, catastrophic consequences that it has, but also because of the amazing and fraternal consequences that it has. I mean, it is perhaps one of the most bonding and most alive places that exist that I ever been in, you know?
Let's listen to a clip from that film, the scene where they are on the train singing that song, and then listen to the version by Los Tigres del Norte.
Sure.
Salvador, con intención de llegar a Estados Unidos, sabía que necesitaría más que valor, sabía que a lo mejor quedaba en el camino. Son tres fronteras las que tuve que cruzar, por tres países anduve indocumentado, tres veces la vida que arriesgar, por eso dicen que soy tres veces mojado. En Guatemala y México cuando crucé, dos veces me salvé, me hicieron prisionero, el mismo idioma y el color reflexioné, ¿cómo es posible que me llamen extranjero?
At the same time, there are musicians that you've loved to collaborate. I mean, you've worked a lot with Julieta Venegas.
Yeah. It feels like we've worked a lot. We've coincided in a few films, but mainly we're good friends. So it feels like we've worked in something. We have to work on something directly soon.
So, I mean, there are musicians that you love to collaborate with, right?
Yeah, well, the stuff that I've been directly involved directing, for example, is... the film I did, Deficit, and the short films, The Invisibles, and a couple of other short films. And for those, in Deficit, for example, it was incredible to discover all these new bands, I mean, especially from Monterrey, you know. And then working with, in that film, I wanted to at least have one original song made for the movie. It was pretty fun to work with Devendra Banhart. This was quite a long time ago. This was like 7 years ago or 6 years.
Can we play your collaboration with Devendra Banhart? Is that okay, or do you get kind of embarrassed to hear yourself sing?
I'm embarrassed, but there's nothing I can do.
Let's go ahead and listen to Cristobal by Gael García Bernal and Devendra Banhart.
Rota, rota, hay un mundo más allá, otro mundo más allá, hay un mundo más allá, otro mundo más allá, hay un mundo más allá.
A lot of listeners who want to know if you're going to work with Devendra again.
I would love to work with Devendra again in something, be it a film project or be it some other weird project. I would love to.
Gael, what was the process there? What was the decision-making process in putting yourself in the music as well as the film in that scene?
That was mainly Devendra's decision and Devendra's kind of bravery to ask me, because they were recording that song. First I showed them the movie and we became friends and we talked about it, and then I showed them more or less where we were heading, and he started to work on the song, and later when we met up like 3 months after that we were finishing the post-production, he was recording the song and he said, come and you have to be in the song, no? And I understood that as I have to be there whilst they record the song, no? And I arrived and started to listen to what was there, and I started to hum it, you know, very very embarrassingly low, but you know, because you're in front of musicians, and of course you. But I started to get really excited about what they were doing, and then he said, just we have to record you singing it. And maybe we use it, maybe don't. And I was like, no, please, man, are you sure? And he said, yeah, of course. And ended up using it. And a couple of hours, we were done. And I don't know, it was quite easy in a way.
But for someone who's embarrassed of singing, you have sung on camera, because I'm thinking of Rudo y Cursi. Rudo y Cursi, which is a story of two aspiring young soccer players in Mexico. The one brother, who you play, Tato, he really just wants to become a soccer player so he can become a pop star. So he finally kind of makes it to be a pop star, but it's really cheesy. And in the part when you cover Cheap Trick's I Want You to Want Me, but like ranchera style, I have to tell you, everyone in the room was like, no! Can we listen to that? Or is that also kind of embarrassing?
It is embarrassing, but again, it's one of those, like, it's beyond embarrassing, so I don't know what even to feel.
Let's listen to Gael García Bernal and his cover of Cheap Trick for the movie Rudo y Cursi.
Oh my god.
Quiero que me quieras. Sombrero me pondré, tempranito llegaré, si me dices que me amas. Yo te vi, yo te vi, yo te vi, yo te vi llorando. Oh, sí, sí te vi, sí te vi, sí te vi llorando. Solo en este mundo, sin ti me estoy muriendo. Dime qué, dime qué, dime qué tú estás sintiendo.
Now that's a certain touch, man.
That's a landmark.
Yeah, man.
Okay, but I have to say something. It is the character that's singing, okay?
Yes, it
of
is.
Of course. Sorry, I should have introduced it as Tato.
Exactly. It's Tato, yeah. Poor Tato. He will feel that he made all this effort and now nobody recognizes his achievements.
Well, let me follow that up then. I mean, if you weren't an actor, and if you were a professional musician, what kind of music do you think you'd be playing?
Oof, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, and that's what maybe allows me to be able to sing in camera, because if it's a character, if it's the voice of a character, if it's the way the character speaks or the way the character would sing, then I'm okay with that, you know? I free myself and I end up doing it, because at the end of the day, I don't know, it is not me who's being kind of judged, you know? And I think that's perhaps the ongoing lie that actors live in. We feel good when there's a character that we are playing and we end up doing, and we end up doing things that nobody would dare to do, or that we wouldn't dare to do, unless we had a character as a mask, or as a, you know, as a character that exists and that people recognize as alive, you know. And therefore, I don't know the way I would sing. I don't know my voice. When somebody says, just sing something, I have to say, like, okay, sing it, but like whom, you know?
Do you sing to your kids?
Yeah.
Do you sing like Tato to
your kids? No, fortunately not, but come on, like, the kids survive the parents' abilities of singing.
So I have two sons, and they don't like to hear me sing, but I sing anyway, man.
It is perhaps the most embarrassing thing for me to do, to sing in public as myself, because I have no idea how would I sing. But if I would do music, I don't know what genres it would be or what word would go through, but I think it would be something quite difficult to put a finger on. I mean, it would go from cumbia surf to I don't know. I really secretly in my youth I wanted to be a salsa singer when I grew up.
Really?
No kidding.
Or a salsa musician. Any instrument of a salsa would be fantastic. But salsa like in the 70s, in, you know, like that kind of salsa in New York and Cuba and Puerto Rico, you know, and Venezuela, Colombia, you know, like Eddie Palmieri and
like a Hector Lavoe.
Exactly. Something like that, like Eddie Palmieri especially, you know, like more driven into that kind of heading into the jazz direction. That would be fantastic, but I know that if I want to be that, then I would have to study every day for the next 5 years of my life and play every day 6 hours, and I don't think I will be able to do that, but maybe a collaboration.
Let's transition that answer into who you're listening to right now and who's on the top of your playlist, and either for personal enjoyment or somebody you might use in a film? Who should we be listening to?
Oof, it's a difficult thing to ask, because I mean, I try to listen to everything that's different, and I also try to catch up on everything that's happening, and it's quite impossible, you know, to, especially with music in from England, for example. It's quite difficult because there's so many bands coming up all the time.
Well, you're working on two really interesting movies right now. You're working on a Cesar Chavez biopic, and you're also working on a film called No in Chile, which is about this Chilean ad executive who comes up with a campaign to defeat the dictator Augusto Pinochet in the 1988 referendum. And I mean, are you considering any music for those two films?
Well, in No, I'm an actor, and basically, I mean, all of these decisions also come from the director, but we've been exchanging a lot of points of view of the music and stuff when we were doing it, and it's in the 80s, you know. So it's a fantastic time as well to dig deep into our melancholy.
What are like some melancholy 80s bands that you're listening to?
Well, the character, he's an exile, a Chilean exile that lived in Mexico like many exiles did in the 80s. From Chile, from Argentina, from Uruguay, from Brazil, from Peru. I mean, many went to Mexico. And at that moment in Latin America, there was this kind of fervor that was called the rock en tu idioma, which I'm sure you know. And so basically, I mean, it was ranging from Soda Stereo that was, I mean, hitting really strongly in all Latin America, but also local bands like in Mexico, for example, Caifanes was beginning. Or Botellita de Jerez, or even certain bands from Spain as well, that were quite kitsch, you know.
You mentioned one of my favorite rock and Espanol bands, Caifanes. So let's very quickly hear something from Caifanes.
Can I choose which one from Caifanes? One of the great songs that Caifanes has, and I think they'll go in 100 years time there will be one song that they would everyone would listen to is Viento.
Ask you a question that a couple of listeners online were talking about, and it's about the movie El Lenguaje de los Machetes, or Machete Language. It came out in 2011, last year. Beautiful movie. And you casted two very well-known Mexican rockers, Andres Almeida and Mexican punk rocker Jesse Bulbo. She's kind of like the Mexican Courtney Love. And I was wondering how you came about into casting them, because they're really fantastic in these roles. And you were talking kind of about you putting on a musician face for movies, and in a way they're putting on an actor's face for these movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is mainly Kisa Terrazas. He produced it and directed it, and he's the one responsible for every single decision in the movie. I mean, and the choice of music, the choice of everything, and the actors as well. And with Jesse Bulbo, of course, she's a fantastic, energetic, and kind of the best front lead woman. Everyone would love to have her in their band, because she's really out there. The character was fantastic for her. That was Kisa Terrazas' angle, to ask her if she wanted to be in the movie. But with Andres Almeida, it is perhaps a much weirder kind of approach, because Andres is a friend of mine since, I don't know, since we were in primary school or something. In a way, it's like casting a friend that is also an actor. I mean, Andres acts quite often.
Well, I did want to share with listeners the song that appeared in El Lenguaje de los Machetes, which is Flores y Fruto by Jesse Bulbo. And it has like a very Bjork-like quality, I think. It's kind of dissonant. It's very, really sweet. So here it is.
Y frutos y las abejas, miel y colmenas, el hambre de los sueños, símbolos, ideas que me recuerdan porque es de la tierra.
Gael, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that we haven't asked you yet?
I really appreciate the that all of you are very, I don't know, fanatic of music and that of what's happening, you know, and that they enjoy this, because, you know, in this kind of democratization of the possibility of listening to music from every part of the world and to listening to it whenever you want to, it has become a much more delicate process to kind of find or to filter what's there to transcend in music. And the good thing about that is that it requires time now. It requires to sit down and to listen to the music or to dance to it or to not have it so much in the background. It is the same that happens with photography, I think. You know, everyone has the possibility of taking a picture now with their mobile phones and everything, but now, you know, the picture is not an event. It's kind of easy now to become famous doing music because there's so much being done, you know, and so much the cultural world kind of is aching for new stuff all the time.
Is there one song that you'd like to go out on today, Gael, that we can end our show with? How's that for a challenge?
Oh, man, I would have thought about this before and I would have had a great... Okay, just for the sake of going back into the past a little bit, something that, I don't know, in the Spanish-speaking world is not sometimes maybe taken for granted, but sometimes we have to pay attention to it a lot, is for example, Gilberto Gil. I mean, obviously, he's from Brazil and he's in Portuguese, but there is a great song that is not played often, or I don't know how many times it's played in the radio. I would say that once a year, perhaps, it's played in the radio in any Spanish-speaking station or in English-speaking, but it's a procesão, a procession. It's incredible.
Well, let's listen to A Procesão by Gilberto Gil. And I got to tell you, when you said Jimi Hendrix and Benny More, you won over Felix. And when you said Gilberto Gil, you won over me. Gael García Bernal was kind enough to join us from his home in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Thank you for joining us, Gael. It was a pleasure to talk music with you.
The same. Thank you so much. And pretty soon, let's have another conversation and let's, share secrets.
Now, remember, you can hear all the songs that Gael chose in their entirety on our website. That's npr.org/altlatino.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I am Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino.
Olha lá, vai passando a procissão, se arrastando que nem cobra pelo chão. As pessoas que nela vão passando acreditam nas coisas lá do céu. As mulheres cantando tiram verso e os homens escutando tiram chapéu. Eles vivem penando aqui na terra, esperando que Jesus prometeu. E Jesus prometeu coisa melhor pra quem vive neste mundo sem amor. Só depois de entregar o corpo ao chão, só depois de morrer neste sertão. Eu também tô do lado de Jesus, só que acho que ele se esqueceu de dizer que na terra a gente tem de arranjar um jeitinho pra viver. Muita gente se arvora a ser Deus e promete tanta coisa pro sertão, que vai dar um vestido pra Maria e promete um roçado pro João. Entra ano, sai ano e nada vem, meu sertão continua, o Deus dará. Mas se existe Jesus no firmamento, cá na terra isso tem que se acabar. Olha lá, vai passando a procissão, se arrastando que nem cobra pelo chão. As pessoas que nela vão passando acreditam nas coisas lá do céu. As mulheres cantando tiram verso e os homens escutando tiram chapéu. Eles vivem penando aqui na terra, esperando que Jesus prometeu. E esperando, esperando que Jesus prometeu. E esperando, esperando que Jesus prometeu.